Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issue of the day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, the area code is 904-834-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today, is America too corrupt to be delivered? Is America too corrupt to be delivered? It's a tall question, demands to be answered, as we look at the morals, ethics, and the values and the declension that we find in every category of American life today, including the life of the church. I believe it's time for us to ask the question, what are we doing as a church? What are we doing as Christians? Are we being salt and light as is demanded and directed in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? And as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a central biblicist worldview. It's looking at everything, every event in life through the prism of the Word of God. I commend it to you. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in saying, thy word is truth in John 17:17. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to effectuate change in our lives. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our pathway, according to Psalms 119 and verse 105. It's the truth of the Word of God today that is despised, demeaned, rejected, and absolutely becomes offensive to so many. It goes back to what the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that today. If at no other time in American history, we see it more today. In fact, with all that's taking place, the contrived, planned deterioration, destruction, and undermining of the foundations in America, it's contrived, as I said, yes. And it's done so by the Biden administration, the Biden family cabal, and their desire to tear down America, destroy the foundation, and as he calls it, to build back better. That's a socialist, communist, Marxist idea and mentality. You've got to tear down the capitalistic system. You've got to destroy the constitutional republic in order to build back, as they call it, looking at a utopian philosophy of socialism and communism. And ladies and gentlemen, that's faltered and failed. It has failed in every place around the globe that it's been attempted for all of these years. But as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We do not base our opinions and philosophies and broadcast on some kind of denominational mantra. We do not base it on a philosophical rhetoric. We do not base our opinions and positions on a political itinerary or ideology. We base it upon the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, Jim DeMint says, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. I commend that to you today. And I believe we're approaching very rapidly the point in time in American history where there will be persecution, prosecution, and absolute threat of life if we tell the truth. We're finding today in Washington, D.C., the Beltway of Washington, there's a demonic lie that's being spread that somehow, some way, we need to have gun control because guns are bad, guns kill people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the wicked, evil heart that pulls that trigger, and it's not the weapon itself that does the damage. So we need to go back to truth, seeking the truth. You won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not find truth on any of the MSNBC or the other stations that's available today. Truth is found only in the Word of God. So how do we respond to that? What do we do? We need to turn back to God before we have, while we have opportunity to do so. We're living in a corrupt society today, but I believe that it can still be turned around. I believe that America can still be delivered, but it's going to take a lot of effort on the part of the child of God. It's going to take our turning back to God, seeking God's face, confessing our sins, and asking God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the hurricane season. Let me tell you, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that you can worship with your family in the house of God as God planned it for the children of God. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview, see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment after our brief monologue, we're going to have a very special guest with us today, an individual that I believe warrants your tuning in, listening. Pick up the telephone while you yet have a moment. Invite others to join in the dialogue and discussion. Tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues, we talk about the question, asking the question, is America too corrupt to be delivered? I say it's not. It's corrupt, but not as corrupt as it could be. It's corrupt, but not as bad as it can be, unless we as salt and light join in the dialogue and the discussion and standing up for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation needs to turn back to God. That's first, foremost, and primary thing that I want us to understand. I believe it's time has passed for the real church to stand up. I believe it's time for Christians and conservatives and patriots across our nation to say no to the politics of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we must have our Judeo-Christian foundations preserved. They're now in the process of being eviscerated. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, it was Samuel Adams that said, and I quote, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Let me read that again. Samuel Adams said, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. Our entire society is corrupt today. Our entire political system is corrupt today. Our Bill of Rights is now being eviscerated. So the question is, as Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 10 said, how should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, we're just listening to the news this morning and yesterday about another, as they're calling it, mass shooting, where five people, I believe it was, were slain in a Tulsa, Oklahoma hospital. 21 just murdered recently at an elementary school in Texas. Dozens shot every week in Chicago, New York, L.A., and other cities that are blue cities across America. And yet the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, continues to push the celebration and the embracing of the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. You can't ask for any greater evidence of a corrupt society, a society that is now in the very throes of being destroyed, and that's the United States of America. America is now facing, ladies and gentlemen, food shortages, baby food shortages, extremely high gasoline prices, and inflation eating away at the very basic family income across our nation today. So how should we then live? What is the answer? Where do we turn? Can America, as corrupt as it is today, still be delivered? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today on Let's Face the Issues a Christian brother, a friend, and one that is going to be in the mix, if you will, of the 2024 presidential election, Daryl Constantine. Daryl, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to having you join us and what God will have you to say. And where do you stand? Take a moment, Daryl, if you would, and just introduce yourself to our listening public, something about yourself and what your plans are, and then we'll get into the essence of where we're going and what's happening.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. And first, I want to make sure you can hear me loud and clear. I'm on the phone calling in here today. You sound great on my end. How do I sound over there to you?
Wonderful. Sounds like you're sitting right next to me here in the studio.
That's great. And I wish I was, my good friend. And thank you for such a lovely introduction. And you asked the fundamental question, can America be saved? And really, as far as I'm concerned, as long as I've got breath in my lungs, it's time to keep fighting. So I continue to push forward. I am, as you said, running for president. I'm running as a Republican, as a solutions-oriented candidate. And I am running to take the Republican Party from where it is, which is kind of a nagging wet blanket on the Democrats, and moving us along to a more proactive, powerful, aggressive-minded party that's more interested in taking and occupying territory rather than defending territory, when really there's really nothing left to defend at this point, which you alluded to.
Daryl, thank you so much for making that statement. Very wise and very poignant. It is spot on with what I have thought, and you and I have talked about several times in the past. When we look at what is taking place in the Oval Office, and we see what Joe Biden is doing, and I understand, and most every one of us will say, well, that's the Biden administration, that's what Biden is doing. But even though we know that is a fact, know that is a declaratory truth, that's just part of the symptomatics that is coming to the surface as to what's really the problem. Tell us from your perspective, what is the fundamental rudimentary problem in America? Not just the political elements. So we, as you said a moment ago, it's just a sweat blanket against the Democrats, as it has historically been found. What do you see as the fundamental rudimentary problems in America? And then we want to talk about, piece by piece, what we're going to do with it, how we're going to respond to it.
Yeah, well, as you know full well, the issue, the core issue, is the moral declension of the nation and the fact that we have turned away from God. And when we look at the history of the world and we look at our Bible, we know very clearly what happens to nations when they turn away from God. They suffer God's judgment, and we are very clearly under a form of judgment, and how final that is remains to be seen. What we certainly know is that we've been behaving very poorly for quite some time. And if there is any hope for this nation, it is going to start with a quick about face and really leading a confessional state and moving away from where we were and sort of reprogramming all of the negative things that we've done and getting the country going back in a positive direction. And what we have with the Republican Party has organized itself around slowing down the Democrats and maintaining a status quo, but we're not actually recognizing that the successes that the left has had over the past 50 or 60 years has really moved the goalposts so far out of line that now we've got to go back in there. We've got to take some of this stuff back. And really the big issue we were talking about last week is the gun violence and these really horrific events that have been popping up again, as they seem to do every couple of years. And really what that's about. And there's the conversation that comes out of this about obviously the Second Amendment, the right to bear firearms, and all of that is something to be discussed, because, you know, the weapons themselves, they certainly do play a role in this, but you and I, and I'm sure your audience knows that the core problem here is that the individuals are broken. And really, we have failed our children. We have failed to provide our young Americans with the type of proper social infrastructure that orients them in a proper life-affirming direction. And so much of this really is about what we have from the entertainment industry. And last week, I know I mentioned to you that really I see no way around this. I feel at this point with the extent of the issue of what we have from Hollywood, we basically have to nationalize our entertainment industry. And how that sounds, is there a nicer way to say it? I'm not sure. But the reality is when you turn on your televisions, when you go to the movies, you're assaulted on virtually every channel. And the level of filth that is pushed on the American people on a daily basis is really beyond the point of something that we can sort of just resolve by introducing one or two new channels. And this goes into the free markets and these types of discussions. But, you know, we're not just talking about who's selling the best flavor of bubblegum. We're talking about a very powerful medium, a medium that has been used actually by governments, including our own, to program people. I mean, hence the term programming. And that's essentially what the entertainment industry is. It is a very powerful programming weapon. And it has most certainly been weaponized against the United States, against the citizens, and it requires oversight. So as we rush to these conversations and we rush to getting defensive about the Second Amendment and our right to bear firearms, I think that we're sort of missing the bigger opportunity here. And opportunity isn't the right word, because these are obviously very tragic events, but there is obviously and naturally going to be a conversation about what needs to be done, because I think everybody is in agreement. I would hope in good faith that no Americans like to turn on their televisions and see these horrible events. And I think that it's time to actually, you know, have a substantive conversation. And maybe it is time to reach across the aisle and see if we can get some support on things like a federal ban on pornography, and which to me is something that's a no-brainer. We have really an issue with these young men, and what we find with so many of them, I'm not sure, we're still kind of sorting out these most recent ones, but up until last year, I believe 24 of the past 25 shooters came from these really dysfunctional fatherless homes that we've
That's correct.
Been promoting. And we need to actually restore that social infrastructure. We need to restore the family. You know, we talk about bringing the boys home, bringing the troops home. Maybe it's time to bring the women home. And maybe that's something that we need to be talking about. We need to be encouraging traditional godly homes again, where the father is working. The father is the primary breadwinner. The mother is at home raising the children. That's a very successful model. That's a natural model. And that is the Christian model. We've moved away from that, not only moved away from that, but we've actually incentivized away from it, which is speaks to the real, truly sick and evil nature of the governance that we've had as a nation and that we've actually been projecting into the world. So now the family has effectively been broken down, and it's not really enough to actually just stop these measures. It might be time to start actually reinforcing these things, to start investing in the social infrastructure. I've talked about paid maternity leave for 18 years, where we actually pay the family 18 years, we offer support to keep the mother at home, you know, not taking away people's choice, not taking away their freedom, but maybe kind of nudging the society back in the right direction. So this is really where the conversation needs to be going as kind of Republicans and Democrats address these gun violence. It's let's have a real conversation. You know, let's let's take this concern head on. And, you know, maybe I do have some sympathy about background checks, because I do like to be ideologically consistent. And so many of my policies, as you know, react to the fact that, you know, we really don't have the type of electorate that we had when the Constitution was drafted. And, you know, maybe we can't actually have quite as much liberty and freedom if freedom of speech equates to, you know, pornography and violent video games. I don't know. Maybe it's time to look at those things. And I agree that, unfortunately, we don't really have the type of society anymore where we can trust anybody to go into a Walmart and buy a machine gun. But there's also the other side when we have this discussion about who are the arbiters of who is a responsible adult. And all of this leads back to the current administration, which, as we know, like all Democrats, down is up, up is down. And they're likely to interpret those of us that are good constitutional Americans as actually the ones that would be a threat and a danger. So we do need to replace the administration. But I'm not afraid to talk about these things. But it's going to be a nuanced conversation. It's going to be a two-sided conversation. And the real issue is we do need to address and correct the culture. And now is really the opportunity to be speaking about that, because it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And the entertainment industry started, I don't know if you remember, but they used to have the Hays Codes. And the Hays Codes were their sets of standards. And the idea was actually that this the entertainment industry created this code themselves. And their thought was, you know, we should probably police ourselves so that the American people don't have to. And they pulled away the codes. So maybe now we do have to actually police them. And the issue why I feel at this point, unfortunately, it's going to have to be more than just sending them a memo with some guidelines. It's going to have to actually be – we're going to have to actually grab them by the collar, because, you know, they are experts in subliminal messaging. They started, of course, with the flashing the Coca-Cola at the beginning of the movies. We caught them and we said, okay, guys, you know, knock it off. But, you know, this is their bread and butter. And they have layers upon layers of messaging, and they are the experts. They are the authority of slipping that messaging in ways that people can't see. So they've shown with their track record, they've shown what they're about, and we've seen their black hearts for what they are, and we really can't trust them. So I think that really what we have to do is we have to actually rip them out and replace them with a pro-Christian culture that we actually assert proactively from Hollywood and project into the country, and also out into the world.
Darrell, you're exactly right and on target with that. Perhaps you're aware of it. I don't know if you are not, if you read the material. Looking at an article that says the Christian nationalism on the rise in some GOP campaigns. Listen to the derogatory position that is taken in society by and through the socialist Marxist media against the Christian. This article is dated May the 29th, 2022. The Victory Party took on a feel of an evangelical worship service after Doug Mastriano won Pennsylvania's Republican gubernatorial primary this month. As a Christian singer led the crowd in song, some raised their arms toward the heavens in praise. Mastriano opened his remarks by evoking scripture. Quote, God uses the foolish to confound the wise, end quote. He claimed Pennsylvania's freedom would be snatched away if the Democrat opponent wins in November, and cast the election in a starkly religious terms with another biblical reference. Quote, let's choose this day to serve the Lord, end quote. Mastriano, a state senator and retired Army colonel, has not only made faith central to his personal story, but has woven conservative Christian beliefs and symbols into the campaign, becoming the most prominent example this election cycle of what some observers are now calling a surge of Christian nationalism. And it goes on to speak here, Christian nationalism, they say, is often accompanied by a belief that God has destined America, like the biblical Israel, for a special role in history, and that it will receive divine blessings or judgment depending on its obedience. That often overlap with conservative Christian political agenda, including opposition to abortion, same-sex marriage, transgender rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Darrell, what I'm saying, according to the way this writer has written this article, and several others I have along the same line, it is saying that if you are against same-sex marriage, if you're against transgender agenda as Barack Obama and Joe Biden is now pushing. It's Obama behind the scenes. If you're against those things, if you speak the name of Jesus, if you praise the Lord, if you pray, if you read the Bible, if you quote Scripture, now we're called Christian nationalists. How do you view that? Of course, I tell people I'll wear that badge with honor. But how do you view that? It's a snarky way of putting their finger on and pushing down the Christian belief. Do you believe that should be, that we should have Christianity and biblical Christianity in the heart of a political campaign and from the Oval Office?
Well, my gosh, you know, I'm flattered because this is the term that I've been using for 10 years. It's almost as if they've been listening to what we're doing. And that's exactly what this is. This is Christian nationalism. And as you know, I am running to make America Christian again. So really, the other way of reading this article is the reality is that actually, if you're a Christian, you can't be a Democrat. And I think that that's very obvious. So by creating a platform and a party that is fundamentally anti-Christian, anti-God, and is actually representing the exact opposite of the moral values, they have pushed the conservative Christian base into the Republican Party. And actually, the thing to do is to recognize that and to own that reality. That's what this is. This is about Christianity versus atheism or Luciferianism. And the media is actually doing us a favor by introducing this to the American people. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what we need to do. So I view this as very positive because this has, again, been the fundamental premise of the platform that I've been talking about now for 10 years. And really what this is about now is actually, you know, coming together and saying, look, this is the Republican Party platform. This is kind of the meat and potatoes of what it means to be a Christian, and setting some basic boundaries of, you know, not going into the weeds on which side of the egg we crack it, but, you know, some specific basic things, and certainly things like same-sex marriage, this is not Christian. Certainly abortion is not Christian. We need to establish this and say, look, body of Christ, come together, Republican Party, and let's take back our country, and let's throw these guys out. And, you know, really what I see, the meat and potatoes of what 2024 is coming down to, is this is going to be the election of gays and gas prices. You know, I think that people are waking up, and the sort of kumbaya tolerance thing that they were sold in 1993, they're kind of seeing that this isn't really quite what it is, and they're waking up to the reality that this is actually just a blank check to push sodomy and deviant lifestyles on children. And obviously, we have to draw a very clear line in the sand there, and people are starting to understand where we talked about, oh, these slippery slope arguments. No, these are actually important, because that is actually where you put the line. You put the line on the definition of what constitutes a family. A family is a mother and a father, and we need to go back to that. So really, we have to actually set now, this is very good what we have going on with abortion. This is a good sign for the nation, but now we need to actually take back marriage. We need to set a proper definition of that, because really these laws are fundamentally non-enforceable because they're built on lies. You can't create a law on top of nonsense. You know, all law is derived of natural law, which is of God. And natural law, nature's law, is that man and woman create life. Man and woman is the family. So we need to maybe put some stuff in there that you can't actually write laws and go off into the weeds with these things. They have to actually start with the foundation of natural law. So the sooner that we do these things, we're going to come down to the reality. We have to look in the mirror and see that the state of the country requires very robust paternal policies to really get these people out and to get the nation going in the right direction. So Christian nationalism is exactly the thing to do. It's exactly the thing that we as Republicans need to be in. And this is exactly why we're very optimistic about our chances in 2024, because we do feel that we represent the only singular solution for the country, which is, again, as you said, to turn back to God.
Absolutely. Darrell, hang on for just a moment. We're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.